This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, on the line with me this morning, Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for Mizuho Bank in Singapore. Vishnu, welcome to the call. Now, last week, before the budget was announced, you sent through an email, very interesting one, saying that this was a very much a watershed budget for Pakatan Harapan, and that you said that establishing revenue adequacy is the urgent task at hand. It was a very urgent push to get the fiscal house in order. Now that the budget has been announced, what were your first impressions of this master plan?
But I think, you know, despite some of the negative headlines about how it's still an expansionary budget, I mean, and that painted in the sense of no fiscal consolidation or how the deficit has widened to 3.7% or so on and so forth, despite those headlines, my sense was that the budget was moved in the right direction. It did do things that would attract and incentivize some capital expenditure where it's required. It did try to expand some of the revenue base. But I think one of the things that came through was there wasn't enough by way of establishing confidence around getting sustainable and broad enough non-oil revenues, because I think what caught the attention was that a lot of the bump up seen in the revenue was going to come from one-off dividends or oil-related. So I think that was probably where it fell a little short of the mark.
Vishnu, in your opinion, who were the winners and losers from this budget?
Well, I think, you know, at least in terms of addressing some of the lower income issues and looking out for housing for the broader population, I think it was a very good job done. And also targeting the subsidies also means that going forward, when things stabilize, more resources can be directed at the lower income. And I think some of the SMEs also benefit from the marginal tax incentives where more deduction is available on the first amount of income that comes through. So there was a tweaking that did tilt this. And obviously, you know, anyone who's along the lines of these sin business, whether we're talking about casinos or sugar, though I wouldn't define sugar as a sin per se, but that's just me. But so those, I think casinos took probably their hardest hit because, you know, there's a one-off raise in their tax structure overall. So that's how the overall budget tilted, I think.
Vishnu, easier said than done. So as a very close Malaysia watcher, what can Malaysia do to ensure a structural and sustainable revenue measure outside of GST? What could it have done?
I mean, that's really the big point about it. I mean, it's easy for armchair critics to say that, you know, the budget didn't meet the mark. I think some of this could have been a more coherent framing of things. For a start, I think what could have been said was, what were the one-off expenditure, such as the tax credit, not yet given, that needed to be given? And that could have been put out in the headline to say that, you know, X this credit, this would what the deficit would have been. So that would immediately show that the profile of revenue expenditure is different to start with. In terms of revenue, how to broaden the revenue base, I think in my mind, there are two things that needed to be done. I mean, of course, the complementary moves on sin taxes, so on and so forth, those were very important to broaden the tax base. But I think at the end of the day, and I know that some inroad was made in this, because once SST stabilizes in terms of implementation, then you can start to assess more clearly. But SST had to be broader to start with. Given that GST covered 20% or more of revenues, and SST falls short of even half of that, I think the benchmark should have been SST should have covered at least half of that. And the overall tax revenues, non-oil tax revenues, or at least non-dividend tax revenues, should have covered somewhere in the ballpark of 15% of GDP to ensure some kind of a sustainable profile given the kind of development expenditure that needed to be done. And of course, OPEX could have also been a little bit lower. But the main thing was to establish which areas of revenue strengthening would be done to take the focus away from the stopgap of the oil dividend. I'm fully on board with the oil dividend to ensure that the immediate gaps are plugged. But not giving clarity on it also means that there may be a fallback on oil reliance. And I think that was the regressive part that was not intended, but probably was inferred.
Vishnu, assuming you've got an audience with the Finance Minister, Lim Guan Eng, now, how would you refine your questions to him? And what would you put forth to him, assuming you had, say, 30 seconds with him?
With 30 seconds, I would have just said, we could have started with the oil. I would have said, why not tie the oil picture together? I mean, there's no need to demonize it. Oil is a good thing. But to at least tie tighter the oil-related subsidies to the oil revenues to ensure that there's no overspending on that extent. And also to establish a so-called windfall reserve that could be used for rainy days. That would have been a good start with oil. And also to give a much more concrete plan on SSD rolling forward, say, 5-10 years. So these two things would have been on my wish list if I had just 30 seconds.
Vishnu, is the higher deficit a concern for you? I mean, do you think the concerns on Malaysia's credit rating, I mean, are those warranted?
I think those are unwarranted because from my point of view, once you take off the one-off and really the legacy obligations of the government, and once you also account for the fact that a lot more goes towards debt servicing, then the underlying the primary deficit position is not really that bad. In 2021, we are getting back to 2.8%, which Malaysia can well afford. So for me, it wasn't not an issue, but the optics of it didn't help the broader audience, I suppose.
Let's switch stateside, Vishnu. I'm sure you're watching the US midterm elections. What's your point of view in terms of the latest developments, and what are the market implications on the US dollar and equities perspective?
Well, the first impression is, for once, the political polls were correct. So the Democrats did take the House, and the Republicans retained and, in fact, entrenched their foothold in the Senate. And I think the views are still divided. Markets are still digesting this because one way they're looking at it is it's a divided House may make it more difficult for Donald Trump to push through aggressive fiscal deficits or fiscal stimulus, in which case the Fed may not tighten as quickly or by as much, which is why I think you've seen immediate relief in equities as they think that, you know, rates won't be going up as fast. But also it could impair decision-making. And for anyone in Asia looking and saying that maybe the Democrats could help us get out of this trade war situation, I think they're also stretching their hopes too far, not just because the Democrats may not be aligned with them, but also because we forget that Donald Trump uses a lot of his executive powers to override things. So these are the reasons why uncertainties remain, and we don't know whether this the Democrats in the House would see Donald Trump doubling down on his strategies. So I think clarity is still not really there yet, but markets are quite happy to take relief where they can.
Vishnu, there's also news that China is planning tax cut measures. Your views on this?
I think those are very well planned, in fact. If you notice, I think the first thing they did is they reduced tariffs for inward imports of automobiles, and then now they've reduced tariffs for purchasing cars. So they are doing two things. They're saying, look, we're not really engaging in war per se. And the other thing they're doing is they're saying, look, if there are external headwinds, then we're going to shift the growth model to be a little bit more domestic focused. And I think a widening of this and easing conditions domestically creates a bigger cushion for them.
All right, Vishnu, thanks so much for your time. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for Mizuho Bank in Singapore. We'll be coming back with the business news headlines, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.